Lord, help us to commence his worship by singing hymn number 610. 610. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners, we as such to thee doth draw near. Let thy Spirit now dwell in us, and with love our souls inspire. Fill, O fill us, with that love which casts out fear. Hymn number 610.
Thank you.
reflection from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. The 25th chapter in the Gospel of Matthew. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his lord's money. After a long time the lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. I was naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy word and help us now at the throne of grace. O righteous God, the great, the eternal, the judge of all men, we tremblingly come. We would approach, Lord. We trust with a measure of reverence. When we think, Lord, of the portions we have read, the solemn declarations, O Lord, who of us shall stand? O the great question, who shall stand in that day? Lord, we pray that thou wilt yet have mercy upon us and pity us. And help, Lord, and draw us after thee. Bless us indeed. Teach us thy fear. Grant us thy grace. Oh, do have compassion upon us. We would cry with thy servant of old, let our soul live. Lord, oh, may we find grace in thy sight. And we hope, Lord, that we might yet also have that sweet assurance of the Spirit in our heart that we are the children of God. Lord, leave none to deceive themselves. O Lord, leave none to harden their heart against it. But oh, may there be, Lord, that felt need and that urgent cry in every heart that thou wilt prepare them make them ready. Oh, that thou wilt work in them, Lord, both to will and to do of thy good pleasure. And so, Lord, do make manifest that thou indeed hast eternal thoughts of love and mercy unto each one. Oh, we pray, O Lord, for that help, then that we may watch unto prayer. Oh, we need that grace, Lord, to watch against the flesh in all its tendencies, its weakness, its sinful nature, its many vices, to pray against them, that we not should not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. But we pray too, Lord, that we may know something of the Spirit's gracious unction and heavenly drawings, that we may feel something of the Spirit so working in us, that grace whereby we may come and draw nigh to God. Oh, bless us, Lord, then, and do condescend to teach us. Oh, we feel, Lord, to need so much teaching, to be taught those things concerning thyself, the greatness of God, the glory, the majesty, to be taught something of those heavenly doctrines, the doctrines of salvation, the doctrines of the atonement. Oh, Lord, we pray that we might be taught too something of that awful doctrine of the fall, that we, Lord, may see how that we are encompassed in it. Oh, Lord, sad thought that. Oh, what an awful place we are found by nature. Lord, then have mercy upon us. Oh, look upon each one, the little ones, the old ones, and all, Lord, who are in the midst. Oh, be gracious unto each, Lord. We are reminded of that great sheet that was once let down with all manner of creeping beasts within and unclean things. And yet, Lord, it was brought up. Oh, may there be, Lord, yet the casting in that sheet such as we, that we might one day be caught up. Oh, have mercy then upon us. But, oh, Lord, do grant us that fear of God, that we may then shun the bewitching snares of this world in all its allurements, its temptations, to count all things here below but dung and dross. Oh, Lord, we need that help, that we may set our affection on things above, that we might seek the kingdom of God in his righteousness, that we might lay hold of eternal life. Oh, Lord, may there be something of an urgency in our soul, a felt need. Oh, come, Lord, then, and bless. And, oh, Lord, indeed, as we see the days are drawing near, the time, oh, may it be, Lord, that thou wilt thou give us such grace that we may be looking unto thee. Oh, help us, Lord, that we may then come apart from all the evils of this world and all its pleasures, that we may, Lord, seek that wonderful privilege of thy people, to seek that communion with thee, fellowship with the Son of God. O Lord, how thy people so often mourn for the want of it. They are tried because they feel so little. They wonder, Lord, if it has ever been real, if there has been indeed something of that sweet communion. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, the struggles, the conflicts. We do pray that thou wilt then bless and draw near to confirm souls again, to bless again. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt put thy hand upon us the second time. Oh, bless us then with that blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. So we look to thee now. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet look upon our young friends, the dear children, each of them. Oh, how our hearts, Lord, long for them. Yea, we do pray that their souls might be precious in thy sight, that thou, O God, wilt be pleased, yet to be their guide and their keeper. O Lord, do have mercy upon them. O bless, Lord, them each one. And bless, too, the aged friends. We do thank thee for mercies extended unto them still. They are still found with us. There may be even those who are not able to attend with us, but yet, Lord, they are yet with us. We thank thee for that. And we do pray, Lord, that thy might yet be upheld and strengthened and blessed indeed. Oh, but hear, Lord, our petitions then in every need. Remove far from us, Lord, our sins and take away the love of sinning. Oh, do help us, Lord, that we may then come to that fountain open for sin and uncleanness. And prove, Lord, its cleansing power still. Oh, wash us, Lord, and purge us with the hyssop. And take away all iniquity. And receive us graciously. In wrath, remember mercy still. Oh, let the power of the Lord be great, according to thy name, that thou wilt have mercy on whom thou wilt have mercy. Oh, we bless thee, Lord, for what thou hast declared. Oh, then come to us. Remember, Lord, all thy people. Those, Lord, in trying scenes. Those under great stress and persecutions. Those, Lord, in the fires. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, them in all the solemn state. Those, Lord, who are cut off and shut up. Be gracious unto them each, and remember them in mercy, and bless them. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou remember the causes, thy dear people, where'er they meet, the twos and threes. Oh, bless them too. Wilt thou, Lord, yet also be pleased to build them up, strengthen them, enlarge them, and may they, Lord, see something of the goodness of the Lord, the glory of the Lord upon them. So hear us, we pray. Remember those causes near unto us in our own land, the cause at Grand Rapids, and oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with them. The need is so great, the matter is so pressing, but Lord, thou canst help. There is nothing too hard for thee. What seems so impossible with us is nothing to thee. Lord, we would take courage at them and beg and pray and wrestle with thee. Oh, Lord, help and undertake. Be with us as we hope to be amongst them in due course. Direct us in thy word that we may go whither thus saith the Lord. Oh, how we do need, Lord, that anointing of the Spirit of God. Remember all thy servants, Lord, in their labors. Oh, help them. Strengthen their hands. Bless the word. Confirm it with signs following. Cause, Lord, there may yet be something of the word of God having that free course in the midst. So we can continue to cast it all upon thee, Lord. Remember those servants due to infirmities of old age who are now laid aside. And they wait, Lord. They wait now for the coming. They wait for the day of exchange. They wait, Lord, for that hour when they shall see thee face to face. We do pray, O God, that thou wilt then, Lord, hasten thy coming and help, Lord, them to hold on. Oh, we pray that thou wilt remember still the nation too in its needs, many needs, Lord. Oh, do remember us in supplying for all our material needs, food for the body and clothing. We pray that thou, God, wilt help us to cast it upon thee. But, oh, Lord, we think of the great need, that thou shouldst humble the nation, turn the hearts of the people. Once more, Lord, we do beg of thee that thou wilt yet have compassion upon us and pity us. Oh, wilt thou now, Lord, then hear our cry, our petitions. Remember all who are afflicted, all who are laid aside. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, their need, the weakness of the body, the tiring scene. Thou knowest, Lord, how they oft times feel so weary. We pray that thou wilt help them and bless, Lord, and enable them, Lord, to look up, to look unto thee. Oh, we pray that thou wilt then have mercy upon us. And now, oh, do prepare all our hearts, oh, that there might be a receiving of the word, and that the word of the Lord may have a good effect in our midst, that that word this evening may so enter hearts, may it bring us, Lord, to confession of sin and repentance. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt then grant thy blessing, wherein souls shall be established and built up. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt forgive our many sins, our many shortcomings, all our failings. Wash us then, Lord, and receive us, as we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now continue by singing hymn number 255. Happy the men that fear the Lord. They from the paths of sin depart. Rejoice and tremble at his word, and hide it deep within their heart. Hymn 255.
Thank you.
gracious help. I direct your thoughts this evening now to the 25th chapter in the Gospel of Matthew, reading there verses 3 and 4. Matthew chapter 25, verses 3 and 4. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The chapter in which this account is found is one of those very heavy chapters, solemn chapters in God's Word. For we have in it those things that respect the last days, the last things, the hour of death, the coming of the Son of God. And oh, the great moment when those things come and they are hastening on for each one of us. There will be that last hour, that last day, if Christ does not come prior, then we shall go the way of all flesh. But if he is pleased to come, oh, dear friend, what it will be to be found alive at his coming. But to be found, more importantly, ready for his coming. That's the great matter and concern of our souls. May it be made so by the Holy Ghost. Oh, how shall we stand? What shall become of us in that great day of his coming? Here the Lord, through the chapter, speaks of so many things respecting it. Oh, we need grace and wisdom to receive the Word of God. But as we look at it in the chapter and the many things that are brought forth, we have it in the narrative that opens the chapter, the coming of the bridegroom. Well, what a beautiful title, the bridegroom. We know that that refers to the Lord Jesus. John Baptist had said, thought he was but that voice that sounded forth the note that the bridegroom has come. He was that one who rejoiced at the bridegroom's voice. He heard it. And oh, how he thought that the people would be prepared for it. Well, here the Lord speaks of that his coming in that way, and it's put in such a way whereby we are taught that there's a period of waiting, a period of watching, a period of testing, if you will, in preparation for it. Oh, that long waiting. Indeed, the Church of God has been waiting from that hour. Didn't the disciples write, thought it appeared the day of the Lord's coming was near? And it's now 2,000 years later. And yet, that day is approaching. It is not for us to say that it will be now in within a certain time. Men have always been mistaken on that. The one thing that assures us of this coming is it will be in a day when no one is looking for it. Solomon thought that. When the people of God, like the virgins here, are sleeping. They're not watching. They're not looking. We read of some awful times in the history of the world when such will be the state of the church, that they will look for his coming. They will be watching because of the oppression they are under. But here they're sleeping. Well, may God give us that help to hear his word this evening and to consider well what he instructs us in it. I want to speak of these virgins that we have in our text. Secondly, of their lamps, what their lamps are. Thirdly, to see something of their vessels. And then lastly, something of that oil. The oil that some had in their vessel, others did not. But they were virgins. Virgins have a special place in Scripture. We read of those virgins in Song of Solomon. We read again of how Paul wrote to the churches, "I have endeavored to espouse you as a virgin unto Christ." Virgins have certain characteristics. First, they're pure. They desire to be found pure. They are clothed. They love to be clothed properly. The true virgins. Oh, they are such who delight in cleanliness, to keep themselves unspotted. Virgins. But more than that, we could say of virgins that they're devout, and these were devout. What a wonderful thing to see those who are truly devout. They're so overcome with devotion unto their Lord, the one that they wait for, the one that they look for, the one they hope for. Oh, different, have we something of the mark of the virgin in that? That we are truly devout. To keep oneself from pure. From all the corruptions of this world. Oh, to be truly devout. You see, we find we're so often polluted again. Those who fear God, those who profess to fear him. Oh, the many things whereby we are so often contaminated. But these virgins were devout in that. Not only were they devout, but they were desirous. Oh, the desires of their heart were so strong. They desired the coming of the Lord. Oh, how they were waiting for it, anticipating it. What a mark of the virgin that is. Have we anything of that? You see, we live in our lives. We go on in all our ways. Oh, how little is there that real desire for his coming. We're so often consumed with all the things of this life. Our families, cares and business. Oh, little do we think of the coming of Christ. That is a wonderful thing when we have some who manifest that, whose desire is that the Lord would come and appear. Indeed, when we think of some of our age friends, we think of the age pastor at Grand Rapids. Oh, whenever I talk to him, that is that desire he expresses. How long, Lord? How long? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Wonderful to see one in such a state. So longing for the coming. Ah, you say, well, that's for the old people. What a wonderful thing for those of us who are younger, if we truly manifest something of that, and if we at times feel something of such a strong desire, the coming of the Lord. Dear friend, it may not be necessarily the coming of the Lord to take you up yet, but is there that desire for the Lord to come unto you in the visitations of His face, to come to you through His Word? Is there something of a desire like that? If there's no desire for those things here below, then do you think you're going to have a desire for Him to come finally and ultimately at the end? It must begin with a desire for Him to visit, for Him to draw near. Oh, this is the desire of the virgins. They do desire Him. Oh, is it that prayer? Do you find prayer in your soul at all? That the Lord would come to you and draw nigh. Oh, you see, different, these are marks, these are testings, the touchstones, if you will, which give us some understanding of our state before Almighty God. Oh, to be one of those virgins in that then, whose desire is that the Lord would shine upon them and visit. David oftentimes spake of that the Lord would come to him. It wasn't that he was seeking that the Lord would take him up out of this world immediately, but oh, that the Lord would make his presence known with him. Oh, this is the desire of virgins. They love to have their beloved with them, to feel that he is there. Good to have such desires as that. Well, they were here. Oh, they desired the coming of the bridegroom. We're told here that they went forth to meet the bridegroom. They went forth. It doesn't say just five went, but they all went forth to meet him. Oh, different to know what that is. The going forth of the soul to meet him. But then, there's another mark of these virgins, and that is they were diligent. Indeed they were. Oh, how diligent they were in their waiting. See, they weren't turned aside from that. Yes, though they fell asleep in due course. But they were diligent in many other ways as well. They were diligent in. And they're seeking of him. What a good mark. If we can display that at all and manifest something of such grace that we are so diligent to seek. You see, the Lord brings forth something of that again and again in the Gospels, doesn't he? He speaks of it in the Old Testament as well. Ye shall seek me and find me if ye search for me with all your heart. There's that diligence. With the whole heart. To search with such longing desires. Oh, this diligence that they displayed. They were going together. There's diligence. Oh, different. Do we mark that, have that at all? Do we go with those that would keep holy day? Do we go with them up to the house of God? Do we go with them in the prayers? Do we go with them in the earnest seeking of him in his word? Oh, do we go with the virgins? And that why? That's diligence. And what diligence must be displayed and will be displayed by such who are found seeking him? Oh, we think of those who in their time of need, oh, how they sought him so diligently. Nothing could hinder them. Nothing could prevent them. Whatever came in the way, they would overcome. That's diligent seeking. They pressed through the crowds. Many of them had many a crowd against them. But they pressed on. My mind just goes to that hymn of Mr. Berridge, pressing through the crowds. If unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found, attending day and night, a worldly crowd to den thine ears, crowds of unbelieving fears to hide him from thy sight. Yet all the vain and noisy crowd is but a thin and lowering cloud, a mist before thy eyes. If thou press on, the crowds will fly. Or if thou faint, to Jesus cry, and he will send supplies. Oh, the diligence in seeking after him. This is the mark of the of virgins. But then another mark. They are disciplined. They're disciplined in their behavior. They're disciplined in their earnestness. All that they do in religious wise, they're very disciplined in. Oh, different to be rightly disciplined. We'll come to more of that in a moment. But there is this vital part that virgins display. How disciplined they are. Children, you know what it is to be disciplined. We need discipline, don't we? We need to learn right from wrong. Bad from good. Oh, the discipline that we receive. That discipline comes in many different ways. It may be that it comes by way of great rebuke. But it's discipline. Peter was disciplined when the Lord rebuked him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." What a discipline it was. There's a discipline again. Peter received another discipline when the Lord turned and looked at him after he had denied his Lord. What a discipline that was. There are some times when that discipline goes further still, and the Lord in measure chastises. He brings the rod and lays it on his people, upon his dear sheep, disciplined. All the virgins are disciplined. And these things, when the heart begins to rove and wander, oh, they will be disciplined. Oh, many things could be said tonight, perhaps upon that very point, but I must pass on, dear friend, to consider yet more of what is in our text this evening. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Well now, what about the lamps? They all had lamps. It wasn't that anybody could distinguish which ones were foolish, which were wise, by the lamps itself. They're all alike. But all these lamps, what we might understand by lamps, dear friends, to instruct our souls is this. First of all, what a lamp is the Word of God. David speaks, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet." Now, dear friends, the virgins have lamps like that. They have the Word of God. The foolish as well as the wise. God's word is given. We all have it. But oh, different, the difference that it makes and how we have it. What we do with it. When we think of that word of God, we might think first of all of the doctrines of the word. Now the doctrines are like a lamp. We hold to certain doctrines. We confess a belief in those doctrines. They're like a lamp. Oh, dear soul, are there certain doctrines that you especially understand and know? What a lamp that is. But then too, there are the exhortations of God's word. God's word is full of exhortation. It's like a lamp. A lamp by which we may be guided, which is like a lamp upon our path, a light, if you will. Oh, God's exhortations have been very good for his people in that way. Oh, have you received some exhortations from his word? Are you praying that God will give you understanding in the exhortations of his word? When God exhorts his people in how they are to behave and what they're to do, there indeed is a lamp given. They had lamps. They that were foolish took their lamps. They took them up. They would take up something of these exhortations. And then too, we might look at the promises of God's word. They're like a lamp. Oh, you see, to find many can take those promises and make a lamp out of them. Here indeed is what the Lord is teaching. They had lamps by these things. How many there are who take up those promises of God's word and claim them and boast of them. But it will only be as the foolish who've taken up their lamp. Again, there is the warnings of God's word. Now, oh, to find how oft these virgins have to take up the warnings. But do you and I? Are his warnings like a lamp? Do they shed light upon our ways? Do they shed light upon our hearts? Are they like a lamp in that way? Warnings are something we do not like, but they're so needful. Oh, what a lamp they are in that. But you see, in the end, if it comes down to this, these lamps are professions. A profession that's made. Oh, you think of those that professed. What a profession Saul of Tarsus was making. Oh, his lamp, his profession. He thought there was none equal to it, none that was better than his. Oh, the man was so sure that his profession of God, not of Christ, but of God, was that which would excel all the others of his day. He was so zealous of the tradition of the fathers. He tells us that. He writes it. Oh, how he made such profession of all the teachings of the Father. Oh, you see, dear friend, that's what many do. Oh, you see, this profession that they make, it comes by the natural learning they receive. A learning that they receive perhaps as a child. And as they go on in life, they receive more of that learning and teaching. Naturally, the teaching of men. And thus their profession, their lamp, is manifested. Oh, what a sad thing to see so many who make something of a profession like that. Oh, when I think of these professions, I think of how John Newton put it in his one hymn so strongly. Like Judas the Savior they kiss, and while they salute and betray, ah, what will profession like this avail in his terrible day? You see, many will make a profession like that. That's their lamp. It's all learning of the flesh. These are the foolish. Five of them. And they that were foolish took their lamps. They took them gladly. They took them proudly. But no oil with them. Oh, these lamps. Again, this profession. Oh, how wonderful if we know something of a profession that comes now. And I want to now deal with a profession that is right. A profession that is wrought of God. A profession that is the work of God in the heart of a soul. First of all, it's by inward workings, not outward teachings no more. Oh, to know something of the inward working of God in the heart. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. And oh, as the Holy Ghost begins to teach, oh, if he lays the sinner low, he abases the sinner, he brings him down, he unfolds to him, discovers to him all that is wrong in him. That which is wanting. Oh, see it first. There'll be something of the teachings of soul troubles. Oh, even these are something that will bring a right profession. These are something which will make a lamp to truly shine and burn. These are those things which will bring that oil down into the lamp. Have you anything of soul trouble? Do you find your soul is so greatly afflicted? Do you at times sigh out of your soul? You feel something of such distress, sorrow of heart, that miserable state. You cry out with David, let my soul live. You feel so much the death of your soul. Oh, do you have something of that trouble like that? Your soul, so barren and so dark. This is soul trouble. But it's that which brings on a right profession of Almighty God. Not only will it be soul troubles, but it will be sore temptations. Oh, the Holy Spirit will bring now something of those things into the heart. Dear friend, it's this which will give them a profession which will be right. A profession which God will be pleased with. A profession which will have its oil. But oh, these sore temptations. You know, dear friend, they will come so solemnly close. You will feel that no one is tempted more than you. Tempted in such vile things. Tempted to speak ill of God. Tempted with hard thoughts of God. Oh, the sore temptations that one is troubled with and burdened with. Sore temptations. Oh, it may be that the enemy will fasten upon one particular sinful vice, base lust. And oh, he sets it before the soul. He sets it in all its different ways. Oh, how the soul so often is sorely tried in that. He feels sure he will yet sink. These are their fiery temptations, as Peter calls them. My brethren, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Oh, you see, dear friend, this is the way in which the Holy Spirit makes the lamp of profession to be true. Oh, to profess his name in spite of all these things, and in the very face of all these things, dear friend, that's hard work. That's hard work. This isn't something for those that are rocked to sleep, if you will, and laying on the bed of ease. Oh, we read in the prophecy of Isaiah of those, they rest on a bed too short and a covering too narrow. Oh, what a profession are these lamps then. Oh, again, there'll be those times when the soul, heart will be so oftentimes troubled with those testimonies. You see, different, there will be those sure testimonies that God gives unto them. Oh, dear friend, this will make a right profession a good lamp. When they receive the testimony of the Lord in their heart, how far superior that is to all the teachings of men. There'll be those things, those truths, that they will be so sure about because of the wonderful revelation that's made unto their heart. Oh, to make a profession without that, dear friend, oh, how sad it will be. How wonderful when we may have something of these sure testimonies of the Lord. David had certain testimonies. He could come back to the Lord and say, Lord, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Oh, that was a sure testimony that David felt. Oh, this is now that which the Lord does for his people then. Oh, the lamp. They that were foolish took their lamps. But they took them without these things. They were coming short in that. Oh, there may be some tonight, and so you may be sorely tried on this point. Oh, it may shake you. It may be very searching. Well, you see, it's meant to be. We do need to be searched. David felt the need of it. And I'm sure that everyone that's taught of God the Holy Ghost will feel that need to be rightly searched out. Oh, the heart's so deceitful. And religious things especially. They that were foolish took their lamps. But then too, there will be something of solemn testings. The Lord will put his people to the test time and again. You remember in John chapter 6, there was a great multitude of people following. And for some time they went along. But then the Lord put them to the solemn test. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And that testing, oh, it made all the difference. As he went on, many, the greater part, began to say, these are hard sayings. How can this man give us his flesh to eat and blood to drink? And they went back and walked no more with him. Their lamp, through the testing, died out. But the Lord didn't stop there, did he? No, he turned to the 12. Perhaps some others as well, of his disciples. and said unto them very plainly, will ye also go away? Oh, he put that test right to them yet. Ah, you see, different, that's when this lamp of God will shine bright, when it's rightly given. Then Peter, on behalf, no doubt, of the rest, Lord, to whom shall we go? Oh, you forget, dear friend, when we're put to the test. Will ye leave me? Will ye go away? Will ye depart? Ah, John Newton again, and he comes so often in his hymns to these very points. What anguish has that question stirred? If I will also go, what anguish, what sorrow, what distress, what trouble. Yet, Lord, relying on thy word, I humbly answer, no. Oh, the solemn test that the Lord brings upon all who would profess his name. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Oh, these solemn testings. But I must pass on, dear friends, to consider next the vessels. We find here that the vessels are referred to regarding the wise. But the wise took oil in their vessels. Now these vessels, truly, they are very important. What are we to understand by this vessel that has the oil? What to understand by it, the heart. Oh, to have a heart that has the oil in it. To have a heart that is blessed. A heart that's rightly prepared. For there is a preparation of the heart by Almighty God where He will put the oil. The Lord doesn't put His oil in those hearts which are not prepared of Him. When we think of this vessel, Paul, when writing to the Corinthians, reminded them, we have this treasure, this blessing, this oil, in an earthen vessel. Oh, different, think of that for a moment. It is an earthen vessel where the Lord puts it. These bodies of ours. Oh, to be one of those vessels. You see, it's those vessels that bore, that the Lord spake also when He said of the Apostle Paul at his conversion, when He told Ananias, go into Damascus. And into the street called Straight, and there unto one called Saul of Tarsus. When Ananias protested, the Lord said, go, for he's a chosen vessel unto me. So these vessels are earthen vessels, but they're chosen vessels of Almighty God. Oh, blessed be God to be one of those vessels like that. When we think of the earthen vessel, we're minded of a weak vessel. Oh, different, does that take some of us up tonight? Do you feel so weak in yourself? Oh, you feel you have no strength whatsoever. Are you one of those tonight, soul, who feels that you are nothing? What a vessel. Does God put something of that oil in such a vessel? Oh, He does. You put it in the heart there. Oh, think again. So another mark of these vessels. They're empty vessels. He doesn't put it in full vessels. No, the Lord will make that vessel empty. Oh, he empties out the heart that he might fill it. Oh, dear friend, these are vital to understand. These vessels. The wise took oil in their vessels. Oh, they had it with them. It was in their heart. But then, when I think of these vessels again, they're not only earthen vessels, they're not only weak, they're not only empty, but then this, they're vessels that are enlarged. The Lord will enlarge the heart. He will enlarge that place where the oil is to be found. Oh, different, it's so shut up by nature. But the Lord enlarges the hearts of his people to receive this oil that he will put within. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Oh, what vessels they are then. But now lastly, what of the oil? You see, this oil is something very, very precious. There's no oil like it. Oh, to have this oil. The first thing I would have you to understand about the oil is this, dear friend. This oil is never incorporated with any other liquid. It can't be. Put this oil upon any other liquid, and what will happen? This oil will come to the top. It'll always stay separate. You cannot mix it. Oh, you might take all the liquids of men's profession, but this oil won't mix with that which is of the flesh. No, indeed, it remains itself. Oh, what an oil it is. We have it brought before us in the Old Testament when they made that holy anointing oil. Ah, but we have it brought clearer before us in Psalm 45. Thou hast anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Oh, in Psalm 133, there was that anointing. It was like the oil that was poured upon the head. Even Aaron's head went down to the beard, down to the skirts of the garment. Oh, what was that oil that was there declared in Psalm 133? It was the love of the brethren. Now, what an oil. They took oil with them. The Lord looks in the hearts of his people for that love of the brethren. He exhorts them. He directs them. He blesses them with that love. By this, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren, the oil that's found there. The wise took oil in their vessels. But let's come to this oil, this treasure, if you will. Going back to what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, we have this treasure. What a very beautiful word for this oil. A treasure. Say, men seek to lay up treasures on earth. The Lord takes this treasure and he lays it in the heart of these souls who are called the wise. Oh, different to have something of this treasure. It's an everlasting treasure, an eternal treasure that God gives. But what are we to understand of it? Well, first, the grace of God. That precious grace that the Lord works in the heart. That grace of God which is manifested first in this, the fear of the Lord. What a treasure that is. Oh, dear friend, this is the oil that is they take with them. You see, it's something they carry with them. It's It's not something that they can leave behind, not something they forget. They carry it with them. They took oil in their vessel. It's been put there by Almighty God. It's the work of God's Holy Spirit within that precious fear of God. It is like the oil. Oh, so have we any knowledge of this fear? That tender fear. Oh, that living fear. That fear that controlled, such as Nehemiah. Oh, there's so many times he had to say, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. Oh, that oil that was in his heart. How it guided him, it kept him. It controlled him. Oh, there are many things that those that were in his position had done before, and he could rightly have done it. He could have made a claim upon it. No, not me. It was the fear of God that kept him. He saw how that those before him had, as it were, brought the brethren to nothing. They had spoiled them. Oh, he could not do that in the fear of God. Oh, you see, dear friend, that's a wonderful thing. When something of that fear of God governs us and guides us in all our steps, in every action that we take. Are there times, perhaps, that you would have said something to somebody in a wrong spirit and you were kept by the fear of the Lord? That precious oil. Oh, dear friend, it's a good thing to have that fear of God alive and working within us. The wise took oil in their vessels. Then too, oh, that oil might be looked upon as faith in the soul. And with faith I would join repentance, for faith and repentance go together. What an oil. The foolish didn't have it. They were wanting faith. They were wanting repentance. Or there might have been something of an outward acknowledgement of themselves as sinners, but what they wanted was that repentance towards God with godly sorrow. Oh, this is the oil that the wise take with them. It's something different that they don't have, say now and then perhaps again, but faith is that work which works within, and repentance too. Oh, there'll be something of daily repentance then. Well, at times they will feel it stronger than others, yes. But oh, they take it with them. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Well, then this. Prayer. What an oil that is. A very precious oil. Oh, dear friend, do we feel to be wanting that oil so much? Oh, we think of our prayers. Perhaps we have to say more. Our reluctance to pray. The hindrances in prayer. But oh, when that prayer is in the soul. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Then, dear friend, the oil of prayer is in the heart. Oh, these wise come with it then. Oh, the prayers that they put up. And when they heard that the bridegroom was coming, you see, the word finally came. That word that they were so long waiting for. The bridegroom cometh. What do you think they did? Yes, we read they trimmed their lamps. By that I take, oh, there were now prayers put up. But the foolish weren't putting up prayers. Their oil ran out. Oh, and what a sad thing. What a solemn place. What a warning. Oh, if we're left to that state of the foolish, In that great day when our oil has gone out, the bride, the wise, took oil in their vessels. It was renewed again within them. And then too, there was something of, this oil represents something of light and life. Oh, the soul. Sometimes it may seem as if the soul is in such a torpid state, carnal state. But oh, when they hear the word, when they hear something of that proclamation, oh, life. Life revives. Life springs up again. This oil within that is manifested. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And you know, dear friend, what was the end result? The foolish were sent away to buy oil if they could. To buy it. And while they went away, the bridegroom came. And those that were ready went in with him to the marriage supper. Oh, may God in his mercy teach us something of a vital lesson here and make us truly wise. We spoke this morning of that wisdom. Here we see it's a great blessing to be made really wise, to be ready, and to be prepared. Oh, to have and know that treasure which God puts within. Let's continue by singing hymn number 667. 667. Immortal honors rest on Jesus' head. My God, my portion, and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. My every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. In him there dwells a treasure, all divine. That's where this oil is, friend. Flowing down from him onto his dear people. And matchless grace has made that treasure mine. Hymn 667.
Thank you.
has seen amiss in our worship. Take us each unto our homes in peace, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us. Amen.